This is HMM correspondent Alexis Goldsmith, and I'm speaking with Alice Melendez, who is the local coordinator for Extinction Rebellion Kentucky. Welcome, Alice.
Hey, nice to talk to you.
So tell us about Extinction Rebellion Kentucky. What are you guys up to?
Well, I guess I sort of see it as a kind of like pushes that kind of waves that crest and fall through time. So everyone was building up towards the climate strike in September. You know, a lot of groups all over the world and all over the country. And so we joined that push and really helped support some groups in Louisville who were already existing. A guy named Jackie Green was doing something called the Mayor's Monthly Earth Day Initiative. So instead of waiting for once a year, he was going on the 20-something of every month and delivering notices to the mayor's office with really specific policy prescriptions and ideas for what things Metro government and Louisville could be doing to respond to the climate crisis and to take seriously statements that they had made but that hadn't had any action behind them. And so coming into September, the climate strike week fell around the 20th, and we joined up with Sunrise and with other, with Kentucky Student Environmental Coalition especially, and with just a lot of independent people who'd never organized before, which is one of the really main missions of Extinction Rebellion, is to draw out people who haven't ever been organized, who've like realized that we're at this critical turning point and who are like ready to do something new. And we all came out and there was kind of like a speaker rallies, and then we had a march and blocked the street for a portion of the rush hour and sort of just started experimenting with those civil disobedience tactics. And the mayor did sign onto a climate emergency declaration like a lot of people in a lot of places have. And now this year is the year to make that turn into action. So there's been a lot of relationships built in Louisville. We also did a couple of settings of the talk Headed for Extinction and What to Do About It, which is an Extinction Rebellion talk that people can access on YouTube, delivered by several different people on YouTube. And we do that in gatherings so that we can have this like discussion about the existential crisis that, you know, our species and our civilization is in. And so now that those relationships have kind of formed up in Louisville, I'm shifting my attention east as an organizer. I've been really interested in a couple of things. Well, I'd say three big projects. One, I'm following the work of People Over Petro in the Ohio River Valley, who are pushing back against this proposed ethane cracker plant being built around Moundsville, West Virginia, and right on the West Virginia-Ohio border, and pushing back against fracking. And recently, I was on a call organized by International Extinction Rebellion with Justin Noble, who wrote this article about the heavy radioactivity of produced water from oil wells and from fracking, especially in the Marcellus Shale where we're located. I'm paying a lot of attention to coal miners blocking trains because I'm really interested in finding alliances where we can see that the CEOs of Black Jewel Coal Mining are taking the money and running and leaving society, taxpayers, workers with both the environmental burden and not getting paid, while, you know, Jeff Hoops transferred $40 million to his personal bank account while the company's failing. So trying to like tell that story and ally with those people. And then everybody's building up to Earth Week. And so all of this adds up to how can humans really come out and force Earth Week in April and create real momentum and motion and material changes in the way that our society is organized.
Wow, so you're right in the thick of it there. We've covered that ethane cracker plant that is proposed in the Ohio River Valley. It's also going to be one of the largest liquefied natural gas facilities in the country. I mean, it's the proposed next Cancer Alley. Do you know at what stage of development that project is in?
I know that I'm on calls with an organizer who's, located in Belmont County and is on the ground and creating momentum for people to be physically at that site week after week. And everything is so unknown. Like, the question is, there's just this huge question mark about whether this foreign investor is going to come through. And it just stays like an information black hole about when and whether this foreign investor will come through. Will PTT Global come through? Will a Chinese investor pick up the bill? What's been happening? Does the government have a real MOU? Like, there's not a lot of clarity about what stage it's at, but there's no shovels on the ground. Honestly, I really think that this radioactivity bombshell could be, in the world of, a death of a thousand cuts, to a terrible project, a project, that extends the life of an industry that's failing in terms of profitability and, of course, in terms of sanity. If they were ever to have to be responsible for handling the wastewater, anything like anybody else in the United States has to handle radioactive waste, they obviously can't do it. And so to create a whole new, like, that scale of capital investment, like, it's one thing to, like, drill some more wells as long as you can, but to, like, put billions of dollars into that ethane cracker plant, I mean, I think that investors really have to take a pause and wonder what the lifetime of that investment's likely to be. And everybody wants to get in and get out and get their money, but, like, it's risky. And I think that the radioactivity issue could be the death of that Cancer Alley project. I might be, hopelessly optimistic about responsibility, not corporate responsibility, but I mean, it's just like fiscal sense, but I don't think I am. I don't know. But we definitely have to publicize and amplify this news.
So what you're speaking about, is it the radioactivity from fracking wastewater?
Yeah. And like that it's just like workers. So like, I mean, even people who take rough, tough, extractive industry jobs, they don't expect to get exposed to seriously high levels of radioactivity without their workplace even, mentioning that it's a real thing. That was shocking, even to workers who are used to being sort of like abused for money.
So, well, it really depends on the EPA and what administration is appointing members to the EPA and how the EPA is enforcing its rules. So one could think that it depends on the administration.
Right, but I mean, so they've lost some lawsuits that have directly linked the cancers of the workers to the brine, to hauling the brine produced from these wells. So even if the EPA is still not doing its job of, protecting, then, OSHA could get involved. Employers are all scared of OSHA. It could just be civil lawsuits. Like, there are still risks.
I like
to
how
a company to start a new project.
I like how you said death of a thousand cuts, because Extinction Rebellion, Sunrise Movement, and climate action in general is just popping up all over the place. And to bring it back to Extinction Rebellion Kentucky, you know, what has been the climate action activity that you see in the population in Kentucky?
Well, I mean, it's easy to like stuff on Facebook, which is why, you know, our first approach when we were like, we need to make this like easy to get on board, because this is not a place where it's normal or easy to be a quote unquote environmental activist. So our first action when the launch date was set, you know, by the international agreement that this is going to be the launch date for, you know, XR United States, it fell on the Comic-Con, was in Frankfurt. So we went to the Comic-Con, we dressed up all crazy, we gave out these Declaration of the Rebellion that's like straight out of Star Wars, and then like read it and tied it in with Extinction Rebellion. It was really like friendly, media friendly, but just friendly. And then made a concerted Facebook strategy and built this page out of nothing. You know, there were like four of us. Now there's a page. Now there's 2,000 actions every, what, a month? I'm fuzzy on my how those Facebook statistics are. But, you know, it's really taken off. It's a busy page. Okay, so everyone's reading. People like articles about solutions that are like, look how Scotland's going 100% renewable by 2021. This is possible. I mean, that's what people like to hear. Well, some group of people is interested in all the stories of mutual aid, how we can create a new economy where people work together and support each other in the wake of disasters, or like stuff from resilience.org. That's easy. The next step is to get people physically out in the streets or out on a train track if you're the Black Jewel people. It's easier for people whose paychecks are endangered than people who aren't. And it's hard to get people to participate. It's changing. The Louisville group is having a lot of fun, starting to know each other really well, starting to do things with a lot of regularity, showing up at Metro Council every time. And that steadiness is building a strong community there. Down in Berea, or outside of Berea, there's a big, sturdy, back-to-the-land community that I've known for years. You know, they're sort of like participating in their way, but it's sort of like separate from this like political direct action or sort of like cultural, countercultural work in the mainstream. But I've got a friend who's in a DJ, she's got DJ background. She's just graduating from UK, and she's working with me. She's working with Divest Ed and Divest UK. The divestment movement in U of L and in Western Kentucky is strong, and the Student Environmental Coalition is really focused on divestment. And of course, so is Stop the Money Pipeline, which is looking at Chase and McKibben and a bunch of other high profile people in this movement are really focused on finance. So there's like that thread is active, especially in the universities. But we're looking to make a party atmosphere in Earth Day. So we've got plans in the works for Lexington. It's on 420. And it's in the Coal Preparation Society is having their big tech, pro-tech 2020 coal conference, industry conference in Lexington. And so we want to have like a counter narrative, you know, in the street, and it's going to be fun. And I think that it's going to draw a lot of people. I think we've got a good crew starting to organize towards it. And so I'm really looking forward to activate Lexington and tie in with existing groups. And that's the work that I do. It's not so much that like Extinction Rebellion has a whole bunch of people who have like rallied to that name, although the handful of people who have are really righteous and committed, like especially the, you know, some of those just great people that I've met up in Louisville through this experience. But I think that there's a good network of people who really care about their community and about the people in it. We're going to have a lot of fun in Earth Week because people are pretty fed up. People are pretty broadly convinced that the government and industry is not our friend in a way that I think is stronger than ever. Even among people, say, who backed Trump in 2016, say, I'm reading all these threads and conversations, you know, of people who are like feeling sold out by him, same as anybody else. They had that sort of like populist movement, like, this is going to be different. And they were like, oh, it wasn't. And so it's just a good moment.
Alice, I really like the point that you made, that whether or not you're affiliated with Extinction Rebellion or super dedicated to Extinction Rebellion, there are people all over the place that are networking together from these various groups, including like Sunrise Movement or just acting on their own, that want to see change happen. And then you brought up people who are feeling abandoned by Trump, Kentucky obviously being a red state in 2016.
There's still like a good old boys network that like thinks McConnell's the bomb because he makes us strong in Washington and they like to be powerful and he makes them feel powerful. And like, there's a bunch of, you know, confused people by my read, but there's a lot of people who aren't confused too.
What do you think the political climate is like in Kentucky leading up to the primaries in 2020 and leading up to the election?
I don't know. I see a lot of pro-veteran stuff for McGrath. I think that McConnell's nervous, more nervous than he's probably ever been about an upcoming election. I don't know. Now, you know, with Booker getting in to the race, you know, from my point of view, McGrath built a really strong organization running against Barr. She almost beat him and moved the, you know, red to blue proportion like 12 points or something. And Booker's new to me, and like, I know that he's got a really good, you know, statement about climate and about other things. I hope that the primaries makes both of them stronger politically.
So you said that Lexington had declared a climate emergency. Are there any...
No, Louisville did.
Oh, sorry. Louisville declared a climate emergency. Are there any local candidates or state candidates that are running on climate change?
Not that I'm aware. I mean, I know, like I said, Sunrise is backing Booker against McConnell over McGrath, saying that he's saying the strong right things about climate and that she's not. I haven't heard her fail to. I spoke to her at length back when she was running against Barr about nuclear policy as a combat vet and somebody in the Air Force. And it was really heartening to talk to a politician who had, you know, deep knowledge about some of the dangers facing us and intention and seemed like capability to make useful changes towards a less insane policy. But as far as people running on climate, no, like that's not a thing here that I know of.
So we've got time for just one more question, and it's kind of a two-parter, but one is the media. Do you see the media in Kentucky, the local media, covering climate change? Is there a conversation about it happening in the media? And then in the culture, is there a conversation about permaculture, about reducing our waste, about any of these things? What's that like?
In mainstream media, I would say it's basically non-existent. In terms of recognizing that there's something going on in the just broader population, I think that there's a lot of people who will say things like, I think it's the end times. Like, people feel like things are moving. And dramatically so. People, you know, noticing the weather, but it's going deeper than that. In among people, there's more conversation certainly than there is on broadcast news channels or something like that, your morning shows, which I only catch like here and there. But
I do investigate them from time to time, and yeah, there's nothing. It's embarrassing. It's depressing, but it is what it is. But in the broader culture, like I said, I'm like reading on these forums with the coal miners, and they're like, coal's not coming back. Climate change is real. Like, there's a big population who's saying that there, and then saying, what next? It's got to work economically, and sort of like nothing is working in Eastern Kentucky economically. Like, these real small scale entrepreneurial projects are real. And I like Andrew Yang because he's talking about guaranteed income, which allows people to experiment and feel like you can try to turn a side hustle into a bigger part of your business and life without starving or losing your house. Because, like, that's where most people are. This whole, you know, most of America is just one paycheck away from not being able to pay their bills or whatever. I mean, my neighborhood, like, everyone's already there. Like, people are just trying to get cigarette money. Like, so if you had a baseline income and you had insurance and you weren't scared about that, then people could, like, feel a little more safe to consider massive transformations in our economic system.
This has been Alice Melendez of Extinction Rebellion Kentucky, and for Hudson Mohawk Magazine, I'm Alexis Goldsmith.